Now, this morning, we should be in a relative state of confusion, having attempted to step out of the form. And we have found that it isn't any easier today than it was 5 years ago. But there should be, in some of us, a glimmer of hope that it is not only possible, but possible in this lifetime, that in this particular incarnation, you can step out of the belief in form and the restraints of form in time and in space, and that you can walk consciously in another universe that is here. Now, if you think back for a moment to the first chapter of Genesis, you will see that the entire first chapter of perfection in spirit is summed up in the first commandment. All there is spirit, even though there appear to be seven progressions or developments of consciousness, spirit is all, and in it there is only perfection. There is no illness, no sickness, no disease, no death. And then you go into the second chapter of Genesis, and this is the Adam and Eve division, in which Adam is asleep, and in the sleep is born the second sense of another self called Eve, which is a symbol of the material universe. The material universe is born in the sleep of Adam. And now the second chapter is the veil. And this is what is brought out in the second commandment. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And so we are told that everything in the visible world is something we must look at again, in the earth, in the water, beneath the earth, in the sky, everywhere. We are looking at something we hadn't thought we were looking at. And Moses was dropping this little seed to tell us so. It has matured during these years into the tree of good and evil. He was dropping a seed of truth which enables us to look at the tree of good and evil, the world of graven images, and to discover what we're going to do about it. Now, I've made a little copy of this same passage in other Bibles to show you why the error is so widespread. That was the King James. Now, in the Goodspeed, it says, "Thou shalt not carve an image." And in the Jerusalem Bible, it says, "You shall not make a carved image." And in the Moffat Bible, it says, "You shall not carve any idol." And in a Jehovah Witness Bible, it says, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image." It's very clear, and if you check your Bible, when you get back to your room or your home, you'll discover that where this Exodus 24 comes in, you'll discover that the emphasis on carving an image, carving an idol, carving a statue, carving something of a material nature. And the translators, of course, have tried their best to follow the terminology. And it does say carve to a material consciousness. And so a graven image came to mean, in religious terminology, a statue of Jesus or a statue of Moses or a statue of Mary, a statue of some figure that man was to worship. And as a result, all the religions in the world who obey the Ten Commandments are looking at the Second Commandment as a statement that you must not make replicas of the children of God who have been sent to earth as a guide, as a leader, as a way shower, and then worship those replicas. Of course, the religions do this anyway. But even while violating the letter of the law, they are also violating the intent of the commandment. And you will find that a graven image does not mean carving any idol at all. It has absolutely nothing to do with it. The light of God is invisible. The light of God contains the patterns of divine will. Those patterns are divine images. The will of God, impregnating the Spirit of God with its will, creates patterns of light. Your function, my function, the function of man on earth, but actually the function of your soul, is to bring forth those patterns of light which are divine images, to bring them forth as what is called your form, to bring them forth as the objects of this world. Those divine patterns expressing through your soul are under divine protection and divine government. But we do not bring forth those divine patterns because we are not in direct contact with the light of God. We do not see the veil. And as a result, we look, you might say, at the light of God through the veil of the world mind. And the world mind brings to us not the patterns of light in the Spirit of God, but its interpretation of these patterns of light. And then we, looking at its interpretation of these patterns of light, we make mental images of them. And so you look at a tree, but first you look at the invisible light of the world mind, which has distorted imitation patterns of the tree of spirit. And then as you look at these distorted invisible light patterns, your mind makes an engraving of them. They are engraved upon your mind and they become graven images. Your sense of vision is continuously making graven images. Everything you see is an image of the world mind engraved into your mind. And so, merely by thinking, merely by being subject to subconscious thought, even accepting thought you're not aware of, you are making graven images 24 hours a day. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. And yet, in spite of this signal, the second commandment has been totally ignored. And we today are making the same graven images that the very primitive Hebrews of that day were making when they were being led out of the sense mind into the soul. The exodus from sense to soul is the 40 years in the wilderness, out of graven images, not out of carving idols made of ivory or wood or tin, but making idols in the mind. And a tree is a graven image. A dog is a graven image. A cat is a graven image. Everything your eye sees becomes a graven image in your mind. And Moses couldn't say it, but he was telling us that people, material forms, animal forms, the forms of nature, all so-called objective forms of matter, are graven images. Eve was born as a graven image in the world mind and appeared separate and apart from Adam, because this is a universal process. It isn't something that you are doing because you want to do it. We are actually imprisoned in this world process. Now, when Moses alerts us to it, we must see that Jesus has picked up the thread completely. And Jesus has not only obeyed that commandment and all the others, but has taken us a step further. Moses was implying. Moses was suggesting. Moses was hinting. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be reborn." Why? Well, I can't tell it to you, but you're a graven image. And at the end of the Gospels, you find who is present with Joseph of Arimathea picking up the body of Jesus. Nobody but Nicodemus. And that is a sign that Nicodemus had accepted the teaching that he had to be reborn. He knew now that he was a graven image. And we must know that everything that our mind is doing is planting false patterns which seem to be external but which are completely subjective. And so the graven images of the Bible refer to your thought process, not to what you carve with your hands, but to the images that you carve in your mind. And the Master, through Moses, the Master, through Jesus, was teaching us that the world of man, the universe of man, and the inhabitants of that universe are made of a substance which is counterfeit. Every graven image is a duplicate of the original. In the printing process, you make a plate. In the engraving process, you make a plate, and then you turn it upside down, and you put the ink on it, and you press it down, and you knock out, print out copies. The world mind prints copies of the original divine image. And these copies are graven or duplicate images, counterfeit images, not the original image. And as we live in these graven bodies, everything we attempt to do falls short of the mark for that reason. Now, separation from the Spirit is responsible for the creation of a false universe made of graven images called human bodies, animals, stars, water. Everything you see. In fact, a graven image cannot even talk. You cannot hear sound that is real from a graven image. And so you must listen to the voice within, because the graven image cannot give you direct contact. Now, this light of the Father is available for direct contact. When you see the Father face to face, when you make direct contact with the light, you bring forth a different kind of image. Not a graven image, but a divine image, a spiritual image, instead of a sense mind image. And we are given this great insight into the purpose of what we call human life. To step out of the belief that you exist in a graven image. To be transformed through the soul itself. As long as you look out at a world through your sense mind, you are a prisoner in a universal process of making graven images. And you will take that form that the world mind has engraved into this world as you. And no matter what you do with it, a graven image can never survive. But a divine image does. A divine image does survive. A graven image does not. All imperfection exists only in the graven image. And when you read that the dead shall rise from their graves, the correct translation, if you want it, is the dead to Christ shall arise from their graven images. The graven image is the grave, which we call the body. And the Master rises from the tomb because he is not in a graven image. He is not a graven image. Lazarus rises from the tomb because he is not a graven image. The girl in the coma rises from the tomb because she is not in a graven image. The boy in the village of Nain rises from the coffin because he is not in a graven image. We are being given examples that the human body is a graven image. A coffin. And we are told that thou shalt not make graven images. And then he goes on to say, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. And bow down means to honor them, to accept them, to believe in them. To believe that you live in a physical form is to bow down to a graven image. To believe that anyone lives in a physical form is also bowing down to a graven image. To fear a physical form, to fear what a physical form can do to you, to think that a physical form can determine your life is bowing down to a graven image. To know that no physical form on earth has any power over your life. Is to be freed from captivity to the belief in the world illusion of human form. Now we who have been bowing down to graven images, our own, our neighbors, our enemies, have been breaking the second commandment. And in our violation of it, we have incurred an absence of the power of God in our life. We We have separated ourselves from the universality of our spirit. We have ignored that we are not a graven image, but we are the light. We have ignored the Master's teaching that I am not a graven image, I am the life. I am the way. And to follow me, you must not follow in a graven image. You must not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Again, all literal translations have been without value. The iniquity of the fathers is simply the false beliefs that have preceded us, which lead to the karma, which we grow into. And because of these false beliefs, every belief has other beliefs that grow out of it, and these are the children. It isn't referring to the children of human parents. It's referring to those progeny of false beliefs. From your false beliefs come your false hopes, your false desires, and your false actions. And so from your own previous incarnation, in false beliefs, in a graven image as a body, and your activities therefrom, unto the third and fourth incarnation of yourself. If today, for example, you still believe in a graven image, and if before you move into your next experience, you have not eliminated this belief, unto the third and fourth generation, unto the third and fourth incarnation, again, you will continue in the offshoots of those false beliefs. And that's what we've been suffering from during this incarnation. Those that hate God mean those who are not awake to the spirit. And material consciousness, not being awake to the spirit, material consciousness is the way spirit phrases those who hate God. Just as Jesus, needing no water, said to the woman at the well, "Give me to drink," meaning turn to the Christ within you and sip there. So here, those who hate God are those who live in an unawareness of the presence of their own spiritual being. Now, as we face the consequences of this commandment, we find new opportunities and new responsibilities. One thing you can be sure of: if you sweep it under the carpet, it's going to be there tomorrow. If you resent it, that won't change it. If you ignore it, it is still going to haunt you. It is the word of the Father: "Thou shalt not make unto thee graven images." You shall not recreate the divine image into that which is called the creature image. "Henceforth know ye no man after the flesh," the graven image. Judge not after appearances. Judge not those graven images. So to the spirit. Now, if you still want to get out of the body, you still think you have one, but all you have is a graven image. And because of that graven image, mankind has been borning and dying and suffering in between. But the Spirit of God is all you can ever be. And it is not in the graven image. The graven image is completely and totally a mental process. You don't have to get out of it. The purpose of the second commandment is to change thought by the renewing of the mind. Yoking the mind to the soul is the renewal. And you'll find there are two thought channels. One thought channel makes graven images. It's the world mind functioning through the human mind. It makes bodies that go to the grave. The other thought channel is divine. And it builds the eternal body, so that you become conscious of your eternal spiritual body here and now. Now let us step out of the graven images in a quiet time and see if we can understand that we're not stepping out of a body, we're stepping out of a mental image called body. Feel the nothingness of it. You've actually been put upon by the world mind. It has clothed you with its own universal thought process. It has given birth to the graven image called form during the sleep in which you were unaware of the presence of Christ as your being. There really is nothing there that is fencing you in. The only boundaries that have existed were the boundaries of the sense mind. There are no physical objects in the universe of spirit. And when you walk out of the belief in a graven image called body, you are in the kingdom of God here and now. And when you are walking consciously in the kingdom of God here and now, you are in the soul universe, where you are automatically sipping living waters of life everlasting, where imperfection is unknown. In the continuous habit of living in a graven image, we have really lived in a mental shadow. H-U-E, you, shade or shadow, you man, the shadow of a man, which we call you man, is nothing more than the world mind concept or shadow of the divine image. And so these graven images are really reflected images. They're not the original. their mental reflections, ever so real to our sense mind. But God has absolutely nothing to do with them, because God never created them. The Spirit of God doesn't lift a finger to help one of them, ever, because they're not there. Jesus did not heal a single person in the Bible. There is no healing in the Bible by Jesus. There is revealing. The Christ reveals the presence of the divine image, where the human mind sees only the sense or graven image which is suffering. The Christ reveals the divine image is present and not suffering. We call it healing. But Christ is revealing the presence of the perfection of being. Nor is Jesus teaching us about his life. Jesus is teaching you about your life, because what he is demonstrating about his life is your life. When Jesus is buried and rises, he is teaching you that he is not a graven image. But he is teaching you that you are not a graven image. He is teaching you that you cannot be buried except in a false graven image. And that you too rise, because when you are no longer in the belief of a graven image, you are past the point of experiencing what man calls crucifixion or death. He is teaching totally about the true life of everyone who walks this earth and revealing the nature of it. When you think then of illumination, think of it more as direct contact with the light of your own being, not something that comes to you from another individual, but rather the elimination of the veil of world thought in you, the shattering of the veil of world thought, bringing you into direct contact with the light, so that the light of your own being comes forth as the divine image and not the graven image of the mind. These things are no longer veiled, hidden with keys, or waiting for us in the distant future. What is being developed is a group soul consciousness, in which each soul involved develops itself to the point of awareness of the perfect thought patterns of the Father through receptivity to them. It also takes you out of the belief that you're going to pamper this graven image and place your life in it and think this is the fulfillment of your being. How many hopes have been dashed by living inside that graven image and wasting a complete incarnation on it, only to discover at the end it deteriorates and vanishes. A complete and total decoy. Now, if you seek human solutions, then you're simply perpetuating the false image and bowing down, serving the false image. And there must now be a ray of pure light coming through that says to you, I can begin a totally new life, reborn into the awareness of my true being as the direct spirit, the direct light of the Father. I have Bible authority for it. And I have inner awareness of it. I too, like Nicodemus, can be reborn of the Spirit and walk free on this earth. I can even lift others out of their graven images. I can be a light unto the world. I can see no man after the flesh. I can love the reality where the graven image appears. You can feel your release. And then the words joy and bliss are not words in a dictionary anymore. They are the experience of your own being welling up from inside you and pouring forth. At first, it's so difficult to accept that you are the infinite and invisible self. Even to accept yourself as invisible to human sense is difficult. But it's true. The human eye cannot see you. The human eye could not see the reality of Jesus Christ. That's why it thought it had buried him. Again, we are being lifted to a higher intelligence than the mind is capable of. For while the mind grapples with the human problem, even seeming to solve it at times, ultimately it discovers its own limitations. It is finite in time. The mind does not survive. The body does not survive, but all that dies is a graven image. All that can ever die in this wide, wide world is a graven image. But the divine image of you can never go through that experience. And if you are able to change consciousness from the graven image to the divine image now, then you will find you are living the Christ life. Not bowing down to the creature image, the sense image, the mind image, the duplicate, the counterfeit image, the temporary image, the imperfect image. And suddenly, the Christ teaching is vividly clear. Why, of course you can do this. Because in a twinkling of an eye, the activity of the soul is released into your consciousness. And what your mind was incapable of doing is formulated through grace by the soul, effortlessly. The soul is living now in the kingdom of God. It is the proper faculty for receiving the light patterns of divine thought. And so take no human thought for your life. Your life is never in danger. The graven image appears in danger, and you mistake that as your life. Take no thought for your life. Take no world thought. Take no human thought, but open up and let soul pour forth divine thought. We are now accepting that the graven images called form and all graven images called matter are not God created, and are not formed of a divine substance, but are formed totally of that which we call universal thought, projected into our graven image forms as material sense. And you see, the second commandment is revealing the nature of the dream. The first one revealed the nature of reality, the perfect spiritual universe here and now. And this tells us why we do not accept or experience the perfect spiritual universe here and now. Because of the veil, the dream, the separated graven images. Now then, where shall you place your consciousness? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Isaiah was telling us, just as Jesus later did, take no human thought, but rather place your consciousness on the invisible nature of your being. The invisible perfection of your being, the fullness and wholeness of your being. Keep your consciousness stayed on the truth of you, not the appearance of you. And the truth will make you free. Thou shalt know the truth, and the truth will make you free. To know God aright cannot be done if you're living as a graven image. To step out of the belief in the existence of the graven image is the introduction to knowing God aright. And you can feel the presence of life eternal. It's not a mystery. It's not in the hereafter. It's not a philosopher's dream. It's all there is. It's all there is, eternal life. The graven images come and go, and so you get the notion that there are beginnings and endings and problems and all kinds of things to overcome, but there's nothing to overcome. The seed that Moses dropped was a time bomb. And this is the time when it's understood by the ten, it will remain, it will grow, it will convert the world from graven images to the divine image and likeness of God in which man truly is created. And it is the consciousness of groups such as this who have been purified of graven images, who walk in the light of their own being, who know themselves to be immaculate eternally, and who can discipline themselves not to bow down to graven images anywhere, not to serve their own so-called graven image, but to rather be a master of it, not a slave to it. And those who do this are building the new world consciousness. And it is being built. Our world is being converted to Christ. The graven image of a material universe is falling away like the outside of a seed. And something is emerging. Something real. The light is coming through. The light of being. We are all joint heirs in that light.